Appreciate the remark of our brother Virgil Herring. We appreciate so much his ministry and all of you that are here this morning. I ask as he prayed audibly that you pray silently that the Lord would bless us in a way that only he can. While he was speaking, I remember an experience I had one time with my wife's uncle. And he was older, and his wife had been afflicted with a terrible disease of Alzheimer's. And she was in the nursing home at Albertville, and I stopped by there one day to visit with them. And before I left, he said, "Ricky, would you pray for us before you leave?" And of course, I consented to that. And during the course of my prayer, I made this statement, and it was a mistake on my part, but I learned a great lesson from it. During the course of that prayer, I said, "Lord, bless this our brother to bear the burden that he must bear during this time." And I finished my prayer and stood up and shook hands, and he said, "We love you coming by, we appreciate it, but I want to tell you something, that what I'm doing here is not a burden, it's a privilege." Yeah. And I've never forgot that, and I hope that we can never forget that even though we have burdens in this life, it is a great privilege to have the avenue of prayer before a thrice holy God.
Yeah.
Who demands perfection. This morning I call your attention to the third chapter of Ephesians, verse 21, the last verse. "Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." This morning, if I could, for just a little while, I want to talk to you about three churches that the New Testament identifies. And this verse will apply to all three churches. And I hope that even though I won't get through with it all in the time that I have, that you will take it and go in a greater depth than I'll be able to get to with everything that could be said about the three churches that the New Testament identifies. Now, Christianity has always been on the liberal side of the church question. They have said that all churches came or evolved out of the Protestant Reformation. They have said that when Martin Luther nailed those 95 theses on the door of the church from whence he came in protest of their doctrine and practice, that all churches today proceeded or evolved from that action called the Protestant Reformation. But I want to begin by saying, and you young people especially remember this because you're taught in school, that all churches proceeded from the Protestant Reformation. You understand this, that the church that Jesus Christ instituted, organized, and authorized was not formed in protest of anything.
No.
It is in its origin perfect. It is in its foundation solid. And it cannot be improved upon by what man's ideas may come to in generation after generation. The church that Jesus set up was a simple church.
Yeah.
Wasn't anything that was out of the ordinary about it. It was made up of simple people. It was made up of those who were devoted to those who were willing to persevere through hardships. And yet, in the middle of all of that, he says, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, I'm going to begin, and I'll come back to what I've said, but I'm going to lay that for just a simple foundation for you. There has always been a meeting place for the people of God. Now, I say that for the simple reason that God set up a way of meeting in the Old Testament. Now, the church in the New Testament is far different from the church of the Old Testament, the meeting place of the Old Testament, but yet it was foreshadowing or a type and shadow of what was to come in those things, for lack of a better term, that spoke better things than that of Abel. All right, now, under the Old Covenant, you find that God set up a place of meeting after he dealt with Moses on Mount Sinai, and he called it a tabernacle. And that tabernacle was not to be just constructed anyway. He couldn't do it any way he wanted to, couldn't use any material he wanted to, but they were commanded to build that tabernacle according to the pattern that was given in the mount. Now you read that in the book of Exodus. Everything in the tabernacle was authorized as a pattern for them to go by. And do you know what? In Acts chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, Dr. Luke goes back through those experiences, Brother Virgil. He talks about Abraham, Jacob, the deliverance from Egypt, and he talked about the building of the tabernacle, and you know what he called that? The church in the wilderness.
Yeah.
The church in the wilderness.
Right.
So we have authorization to call that tabernacle,
right,
which was 150 by 75 with tents around it, with materials that was authorized. We have that place identified in the New Testament as the church in the wilderness.
Right.
You know what the word church means? It means ecclesia. It comes from a word ecclesia that means the called out.
Yeah.
The called out. Did you know that God never authorized the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite? He never gave them the tabernacle. But he did authorize that tabernacle for his called out.
Yeah.
He did authorize that tabernacle for those whom he declared to be given the oracles of God. Told them how to build it, told them how to worship, told them how to be. Wasn't any shortcuts that could be taken. Wasn't anything that could be overridden, because the highest law had authorized the construction of that tabernacle and all that went in it. Everything must be made in the church in the wilderness according to the pattern given to Moses in the mount. And then we come on to the temple. Do you know what? The Bible tells us, and I'll give you this for time's sake, but not the sound of the hammer nor the axe was heard in the construction of that temple. It was all hewn. The stones were all cut in another place and brought. And when they got to the place where God had authorized to build the temple, every stone fit, every one that was hewn, every timber that was placed fit in its place. Do you know what the Church of the New Testament is called? Do you know what you all are called? Lively stones.
Yeah.
Built up in a spiritual house.
Right.
To offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Lively stones. Not lively bricks now. But lively stones. Bricks come out of the vat. They're all just alike.
Right.
But I want to tell you right now, all God's children are different. Amen.
Amen.
Every one of them. All the disciples were different. They had a different personality. Everything about them was different. But I want to tell you right now, when God gets through with you, when God gets through hewing and making and purging, I want to tell you, when you come to the house of God, bless God, you'll fit. Amen.
Yeah.
You'll fit.
Amen.
That's how God deals with us. He doesn't make us all over. Every one of us is different. But I want to tell you right now, for everything that God made, he used it for a purpose. Every personality that God gave to the New Testament church, he used that for the furtherance of the gospel. Every one of them. When God calls a man to preach, he doesn't change his personality.
No.
But he uses that personality. You know, some of us are kind of quick-tempered. Some of us are kindly debative. Some of us are not as calm as others. I wish to God I could be as calm as some preachers I know. I really do, you know. And I'm getting a little better about it, the older I get. But I want to tell you right now, sometimes, I just get it up to here. I don't know why that is. But, you know, Brother Virgil, I agree with you, and I thank you for mentioning. When I get that way and I get in trouble over it sometimes, you know, I just have to pray a little more right then. I feel the need of prayer right then.
Right.
I'll tell you that. That's the reason that I know that circumstances have prevented many of us from meeting. But I want to tell you right now, I appreciate you all letting me come here and worship with you and be a part of you for a little while. But I want to tell you right now, even over there in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that they that sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle. That's where they sought the Lord. Now somebody says, well, preacher, I can worship God just as good outside the church as can in the church. That's not so.
No.
That's not so. The Lord set up that tent of meeting over there for his called out to go and assemble together. Isn't that right?
Right. Amen.
That's where they assemble together in the wilderness. That tent of meeting could be moved. And I'll tell you right now, the cloud, the glory of God hovered over that tabernacle, signifying the presence of God. The cloud hovered over that tabernacle by day and a pillar of fire by night. And wherever that tabernacle went, the presence of God went with it. Why? Because it was the authorized building of God. It was built according to the pattern shown in the mount. I'll tell you right now, when you make something according to the pattern, it'll fit. You know, one time I love to do carpenter work. I'm not a good carpenter, but I like to do carpenter work. And so I was cutting a hole in a birdhouse. I was making a birdhouse for my mother. And then, you know, if any of you knows about building a birdhouse, Brother Virgil, if you build a bluebird house, it's got to be the exact size. It's got, the hole's got to be the exact size. Well, let me tell you what I did. I cut out one hole that was the exact size. Then I took the other, the piece I cut out, and I drew a circle around it, and I cut out that hole. And another one I did that hole. Well, you know what happened? The thing that I was doing was this. I was getting a little bigger and a little bigger and a little bigger all the time. I had the right pattern, but I didn't use the right pattern on the right material. It just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You know what? If I'd used the pattern to start with, that I had to start with, I wouldn't have had a problem. But it deviated from the pattern. My granddaddy ran a stove for 50 years in our community. And he had a four by eight sheet of plywood. And it had dress patterns on it. I still got that. Some of you remember that. Women would come in there and they'd buy a dress pattern. Well, some was a 10, some was an 8, some was a 12, some was bigger, some was smaller. But I want to tell you right now, the pattern for the 8 wouldn't work for the 12.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't do it. That's not the way the pattern works. But God gave them a pattern in the Old Testament, and when they used that pattern and they worked according to that pattern, I want to tell you, God was pleased. But there were some men over there tried to bring strange fire, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Some men tried to bring strange fire. They tried to institute, and they said to Moses, they said, "Why, who gave you this authority?" You know, Dathan and Korah, they rebelled against him and said, "How do we know that God gave you this authority? How do we know you've got so much authority over this?" Do you know what? Moses began to tell them, he said, "Let each tribe of you take a staff or a stick, and you lay them over here against the oracle." And he said, if you began to see those sticks, you began to watch them. And he said, "That's one of those sticks is going to bloom.
Yeah.
One of those dead sticks is going to bloom. It's going to prove to you that I am God's voice in the earth. I am God's man." Now Moses had a temperament about him that I look at myself sometimes. He'd get all out of sorts. He'd pray, "Lord, take them away." And then he'd come back and pray for them again. He'd get all out of sorts. But I want to tell you right now, to boil the whole thing down, you understand that God proved by wonders and miracles that Moses was the man of God.
Yeah.
But you know what? Moses never did get to go into the land of Canaan, did he? Never did do it. Why? Because he says, "You failed to sanctify me at the rock."
Yep.
That's the reason he didn't get to go. Now he got to see it. He looked over there. He had God's authority. And the tabernacle went with them. But I want to tell you right now, Moses himself never got to go into the land of Canaan. But God chose Joshua to lead them. God chose Joshua. And as he led them into the land of Canaan, still it was done according to the pattern that was given in the mount. One passed away, another took up the mantle. And here they press toward another day.
Yeah.
Another day. Another day. And let me just tell you something, brothers and sisters. As discouraging as life may get sometimes, God help us that we press to another day.
Yeah.
God help us that we begin to press to another day and still give God glory in the church in all ages, a world without end. Amen.
Amen.
That's what we're saying, you see. That tabernacle was a place where Moses set up the pattern. Dr. Luke called it the church in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And yet Jesus came on the scene and he constituted a new and a living way.
Yes, he did.
Something far better than what they had known. Something far more glorious than what they had known. There was a veil that separated where God was and the priest. There was a veil that was there that Josephus tells us that two yoke of oxen could not pull apart. And that priest had to go beyond that veil. But I want to tell you right now, when the Lord Jesus died and set up his church, the veil of that temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And that which one time was a barrier now became a gateway. We can approach to God.
Yeah.
We don't have to go through a priest. But we believe in the priesthood of the believer. That is that you and I can pray. Oh, it ought to be done in a church capacity. It ought to be done that way. And it's good that we do it that way. But I want to tell you right now, we can understand also that those who are not able to be at church and yet their mind is centered on spiritual things, I want to tell you right now, they can pray direct to the Father.
Yeah.
They don't have to have a priest. They don't have to have a preacher there with them. And it's not a burden,
right,
but bless God, it's a privilege.
Right.
Jesus came on the scene. Now you remember this, there are those that have the idea that the church was constituted, the New Testament church, and there is a New Testament church that is one church with one gospel, with one baptism, right, with one Lord, with one head.
Right, amen.
The New Testament church. The New Testament church had an ordained ministry before Pentecost.
Yeah.
The New Testament church was authorized to baptize before Pentecost.
Yeah.
John came on the scene and he began to preach the kingdom of God before Pentecost. Jesus Christ came to John for baptism. Somebody came up with the idea one time that John's baptism, Brother Virgil, wasn't a legal baptism. I'll tell you right now, that's the only baptism Jesus had. Jesus had John's baptism, and it was a legal baptism.
Yes, it was.
That's what Jesus had. Jesus came on the scene, and he came to John for baptism, and John was reluctant. He said, Lord, I have need to be baptized of thee, but it behooves me to fulfill all righteousness. And he baptized him. And you know what? The Spirit of God came down on him.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God came down on him like a dove. And a voice spake there at the Jordan River and said this. He says this. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Yeah.
Oh, what a statement.
Amen.
Jesus came on the scene again. And then that great 16th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 13, he comes now to his closest followers. And he says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say that I am Elijah. Some say John the Baptist. Some say one of the prophets. And he goes on for four counts. They were wrong. But he said, whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? And here's this personality that Peter that just comes out of him and said, thou art the Christ,
right,
the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock, get in there, upon this rock I will build my churches. No, sir, but I will build my church.
Yeah.
You hear?
Amen.
I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not, not may not, but shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not be victorious over the church that Jesus built.
Yeah, amen.
Now, seven churches in Asia, if you read the first three chapters of Revelation, Somebody said that's seven periods of time. I'll tell you right now, it may mean a lot of things, but I'll tell you, I believe they were seven actual, literal bodies of baptized believers.
Yeah.
Seven churches of Asia. No record of where they were now. They're all gone. You read about them, some of them Jesus spoke and said, strengthen the things that remain. Some of them Jesus said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Some of them Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Yeah.
Some of them said this, we're rich, and you don't know, Jesus said, that you're poor and blind and naked and wretched.
Right, amen.
That's what he said about it.
Right.
Church is made up of human beings that make mistakes. Let me tell you something, young folks and old folks alike, your mistakes do not define your character. Your mistakes do not define your character. If it did, all of us would be in trouble. I'll tell you today that men make up churches. We make up churches. It's a perfect church with imperfect people in it. And I tell you this today, where we as imperfect people meet. Somebody said one time, why, marriages are made in heaven. If you believe that, I got some oceanfront property in Arizona that I won't say. Amen. But I want to tell you, there's one marriage that's made in heaven, Brother Virgil.
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus and His church,
right.
His bride, they were married in heaven in God's decree before the world began, in God's manifestation on the banks of the Jordan River. And Jesus said, I'm going to build it upon the rock of Revelation.
Right.
Not on Peter, but I'm going to build it on the rock of Revelation.
Right.
My church. Now in the church, he says, unto him be glory in the church. Glory was given to him in the church in the wilderness. And glory is to be given him in the church here. You see, in time, in a manifested sense, Jesus said, I will build my church. And whatever God has authorized in heaven, he has authorized in his church. Whatever I've loosed in heaven, he says, I've loosed on earth. Whatever I've bound in heaven, what's forbidden by him is forbidden. Somebody says, well, the church, it doesn't say not to have a musical instrument in the church. No, it doesn't say not to have a television in the church. We're not dealing with what is not said.
Right.
We are dealing in what the pattern is given to us.
Right.
When they washed each other's feet and they went out, what did they do? Play a hymn? No, sir. They sang a hymn, didn't they?
Yeah.
Sang a hymn in unison. They sang a hymn in unison. And today we practice that same pattern. We practice that same pattern. You know what? When the Bible said that we sing with joy, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. That's what he says here in connection with this. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages. World without end. Man told me one time, he said, Brother Ricky, he said, I tell you, he said, y'all need to keep up with the time. So I said, man, I want to tell you right now, we are keeping up with the times. Do you know that?
Sure.
Sure we are. I'm telling you about a church that's ever new. I'm telling you about a church that is in its inception perfect. I'm telling you, you can't improve on perfection, can you? No, sir. It just won't work. You can't improve on what God did. He did it in a perfect way. He gave us the pattern to handle it. He gave us the pattern. You know what? He gave us Paul to ministry. And you know what he said to Paul, to Timothy? He said, you commit this to faithful men that they may be also able to teach others. You see, that's how it's come down to this. You see, God's still calling men to preach. God's still calling men to preach. And he says, those same ones, until earth is no more, those same ones are to be committed and faithful to giving glory in the church. I'm not here to brag on me this morning. I'm not here to brag on us. I'm not here to give glory to some man who has degrees that will reach from here to Fort Payne. They've got a sign up in Fort Payne right across from my office that Dr. So-and-so is pastor of the church there, and he's got enough letters behind his name to reach from here to Macon. Well, I want to tell you right now, my friend, we are not here today to glorify men and their doctorates. We are not here to glorify men and their great exhortation and oratory. No, sir, but I'll tell you what we're here today is to preach the Word of God.
Yeah.
And it's to be done in the church.
Amen.
And there's where we receive glory. That's where He receives glory. And when we've left here,
yeah,
we need to feel like we've been the glory. Yes, sir. You know, they called me one time to come to preach at the First Baptist Church in Scottsboro. And so I had some brethren to go with me. And so we went over there. It was a beautiful church, and I had a lot of friends there. And my friend was chairman of the county commission over there in Jackson County. I went over there and preached one Wednesday night, and there was a house full there. And he said, "How you want to close the service?" I said, "Let's shake hands with one another where we feel like we've been somewhere." Amen. They've never done that in their life. You know, right now, they do that every Wednesday night. Yes, sir. Never done it before. They said, "Man, we like this." Said, "What's the difference?" He said, "Briefly, give me the difference in our church and yours." I said, "I can't briefly do that." It's just too much of a job. That's above my pay grade. I can't briefly do that. Now, if we've got 2 or 3 days to sit down, we might make some headway along this thing. But I want to tell you, when we look at this from a historical standpoint, this church right here, the church I belong to in Boaz, Alabama, can take its doctrine and practice and trace it right back to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
By the pattern. It's identified here in the church. I asked him one day, this same friend, I said, "What I want you to do is, do you read the New Testament, and I want you to tell me if your church or mine is the closest to what you find in the New Testament." I said, "You don't have to give me an answer today. I don't care if it takes you a year." I said, "I want you to tell me when you get through studying if your church or mine is closest to the New Testament." He came back the next morning. The next morning. And he said, "Preacher, I gotta confess, y'all got it."
Yeah.
Thank God.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Y'all done it. Well, I'll tell you the reason we've got it, my friend. It's because somebody else has gone by the pattern.
Right.
Somebody else has given me something that I didn't have, but now I know. And I tell you right now, I pray God that our people will not drift so far that we lose sight of that pattern.
Amen.
I pray God to that end. Now, I'm telling you that there was a church in the wilderness. I'm telling you there's a church here now. And they gave glory to God in the church in that age. And we give glory to God in the church in this age.
Right.
All right? This church is made up of a body of baptized believers who have covenanted together because of doctrine and order that we find in the pattern given to us in the New Testament. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you right now, when we've done that and we've sought out this pattern, it's not that we don't make mistakes because we're human. We don't have perfect knowledge about all things. But I want to tell you right now, it's a simple thing for us to give glory to God and not give glory to men and the institutions of men that comes along with every religious order in the denominational world. Now, it's out there. And it's easy enough for that to drift in the church. And you have to be on your guard, because Satan himself walks about like a roaring lion, and he can destroy, he can disrupt, and he can confuse. You know, men came and they preached that the resurrection was past already.
Mm-hmm.
Two men. Oh, they were faithful for a while. Hymenaeus and Philetus. And you know what the Bible said? They overthrew the faith of some.
Yep.
Better be careful.
Right.
They overthrew the faith of some. But I like this. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that he is. It didn't matter what they preached. It didn't matter what they did. God's glory will still be in his church.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
He is free with his grace, but he is stingy with his glory. And don't you forget it. God said, I will not share my glory with another. Right. It will not happen. It may happen in a case, but I'll tell you, it will not be overwhelming, because God will not allow it to be so.
Right.
God's character will not allow such to take place. You can have a building. Now, let me tell you something. If you'd have put up a sign out here on 75 today, let me see who I can think of. Well, let's say Travis Tripp. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Travis Tripp, that great country music singer. Probably a good fella, never met him. But if you'd put up a sign out there, you know what? This whole hill would have been covered up.
Yeah.
This whole hill would have been covered up. And you know what they'd have been doing? They'd have been at church all right. Oh, they'd have been at worship all right. But you know what the reason they'd have been here for? It wasn't to give glory of God in the church.
No.
It would have been to hear Travis Tripp sing. Yeah. Now, I want to tell you something today, my friend. I'm not saying if you're a country music fan, I play the banjo. I like it as good as anybody, better than most. But I'll tell you right now, when I come to the house of God, all that stays on the outside.
Yeah.
All that stays on the exterior of this building. You know why? Because we're not here as a performer. We're here as a worshiper.
Right.
And we worship God and give glory in the church. That's what God authorized to do in this pastor. Or I've given you two churches. Now I'm going to give you the last one. All right? Go with me to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And listen now to what the Bible says. In Hebrews chapter 12, and beginning with verse 20. And it goes back and he reminds them about where they've come from in the Old Testament with Moses. And he reminds them of how it was back then and how much better it is now. Listen to it. And this is a parenthetical expression. This is an explanation of what he has said. Beginning with verse 20. Notice this is in parentheses. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, that is Mount Sinai, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight of such a thing. What did Moses say? I exceedingly fear and quake. It was something that was fearful. But you see, today we have something far better. And listen to what he says. But ye are not come, but ye are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Oh, listen to that now.
Yeah.
We're not like it was over there in Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
If you come to the gathering together over there, it was possible that you might leave dead. You know why? Because your thought might not be right. The mistakes were there. But we're not there today. Thank God we're not. He said, we'll come to Mount Zion. We'll come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Get that, my friend? The general assembly and church of the firstborn. Yes, sir. You know what? If my words touch you this morning, or any other brother's words touch you, I got good news for you. As sinful as you may be, you are a member of the church of the firstborn.
Yeah.
You are the called out. You know what that means? The elect of God.
Right.
His church. That is his mystical or his eternal church. We've talked about the church in the wilderness. We've talked about the visible body of baptized believers here right now. That's going to continue for the rest of the duration of time. But I'm telling you that there is a church that is eternal.
Right.
There's a church that is eternal. And every member in it is baptized by one spirit into that church. That's the means by which God's elect are brought out vitally from their state and put in the church of the Lord Jesus. And in the mind and purpose of God, that church was just as good when God ordained it before the world was as it is now. But I want to tell you right now, the Bible said we've not come to Mount Zion. No, we're not come to Mount Sinai, but we'll come to Mount Zion, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven.
Amen.
That's how I know who this is.
Yeah.
Which are written in heaven. Listen now. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now it goes back, of course, it's the just men made perfect. He's talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were just, or they were justified. But now they've been made perfect or complete.
Right.
You see? All right. Now he's saying, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
Yeah.
Oh, brother, listen. Here is that eternal side. Here is that third church. Here is that invisible church that men can't see, that all the family of God, the called out, the elect of God, every one of them are members of that church.
Right.
Whether they ever heard the gospel, whether they've been baptized in water, whether they've ever took the right steps or prayed the right prayer, all of them are members of that church.
Praise God.
Thank God, all of them one day, my friend, are going to be made perfect in the sense that they shall be brought to deliverance from the narrow limits of the tomb and ushered in to that final called out and settled house of God. Now let me tell you, Paul described that, and I got 5 minutes to do it. Listen now about what he said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we begin about verse 17. And I've enjoyed trying to preach this morning, but I'm fixing to quit, all right? But he said this, for our light affliction, and Brother Virgil talked about that now, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Just for your information, my dear wife's been having a real hard time. Bless her heart, the chemo that she took, it did more than fix the problem. But you know, as short-tempered as I am sometimes, you know, I overlook that. I overlook that because I love her as my bride. I overlook that because I know that she's gone through some things that I wouldn't tell you about, and there's no need for me to tell you about it, but God knows it.
Yeah.
That's what's important about it. But you know what? Yesterday she just gave out. Today she just give out. Can't do anything hardly much. Her mental state sometimes drifts, and I understand that. I'm not telling you this to get on your sympathy. But I want to tell you this. that those light afflictions,
yeah,
which are but for a moment,
yeah,
comparatively speaking, which are but for a moment, listen to what he says, I have those light afflictions which are but for a moment working for us. You see, they work for us. What are they doing? They're bringing us closer to that eternal church.
Yeah.
They're bringing us closer. Working for us a far more exceeding, listen to how he describes it, Virgil, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Right.
For the things which are seen are temporal, are timely. But the things which are not seen, oh, they're eternal.
Oh, yeah.
We see one another right now because we're timely creatures. But I want to tell you, there's something better than that.
Yeah.
And it's eternal, you see. For we know, now great as our hope is, we know. There's some things we know.
That's right.
We know that if our earthly tabernacle of this house were, here it is now, house were dissolved.
Yeah.
You know what that word dissolved means? Now the old two-seater will say, that means that when you're dead and buried, you're dead all over like the old dog Rover. You're just dead. That's it. You know what that word dissolved means? It means the folding of the tent. Paul understood how to fold a tent. He was a tent maker.
Yeah.
When our earthly house of this tabernacle be folded.
Yeah.
You see? Folded. The earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved. We have what?
No.
A church. A building of God.
Yeah.
Eternal in the heavens. A house not made with hands.
Oh,
listen to that now.
Praise God.
Oh, my friends, today, do you see the difference in that? How, when that's rightly divided, how the pattern fits together every time. Now, I'm going to give you one more, and then I'm going to close. Listen to Acts chapter 20 and beginning of verse 28. Listen now. Paul's bringing his earthly ministry to a close. Listen now to what he says. Now, I'm going to go back to 22. And he said, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide with me. I want to tell you right now, there wasn't many people wanting to get on this train. No, sir. He said, I don't know what's going to happen over there. He said, I don't know this. Bonds and afflictions are there. I know that. Listen to him there. He said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. See? Glory in the church. My course with joy. The ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Now, I want you to come down to verse 28. And I'm leaving out some important stuff, but I want you to get to this. Now, I close. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now listen to this next verse, next phrase. Feed the church of God. Feed the church of God.
Amen.
That is to nourish the church of God. Feed the church of God. And remember, he's called for the elders of the church now. He didn't call for the reverends of the church. He called for the elders of the church. Read it back here. Feed the church of God, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. What else did he say? Which he hath purchased with his own blood. He said he bought the church with his blood. Now you think just he's talking about just primitive Baptists? You got more sense than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The church he's talking about here is made up of every kindred, every tribe, every tongue.
Yeah.
All the elect of God, they are members of the church which he purchased with his own blood. You can't make them, but bless God, we can feed them, can't
you? Yeah.
Whoever they are. I'm glad today that you don't have to be a member of my church to go to heaven. But I'll tell you one thing, there's a requirement, and that is that Jesus Christ, by his own blood, put you in that eternal church.
Yeah.
And every heir of promise has been
put in that eternal church. And bless God, I want you to understand that they are secure in that eternal church. Why? Because of the decision they made? No, sir. But because of a church that Jesus purchased with his own blood. Now, we're commanded to feed God's people. Now, listen to this. For know this, after my departing, grievous wolves are going to enter in among you. They won't spare the flock. And of your own selves, men shall arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you, everyone, night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. Oh, listen to that. I commend you to God. Yeah. I commend you to God. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That's enough said, isn't
it? It is.
I can't improve on that. I can't improve that. I commend you to God.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk out that door. We all going to go our separate ways in a little while. But I want to tell you one thing. I commend you to God.
Yeah.
And commend you to his grace, which is able to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Brother, I'm going to tell you, there's three churches in the Bible.
Yeah.
And every one of them set up according to the pattern. And we don't have any authority to go against that pattern. But I'll tell you what we can do when we abide by that pattern. You're going to find out whether it was the church in the wilderness, where it was the church at Jerusalem, where it was the church at Laodicea, or where it's that eternal church. All of its foundation is the decree and the plan of God himself. The pattern that we see in God's word. Thank you for letting me be here this morning. I've enjoyed trying to preach to you. I pray God will bless you in every way, and I trust that you will take these words and measure them by what's said in the pattern. And if they don't measure up, then I'll tell you, the Lord will tell you what to do with it, the one that preached it.
Yeah.
But if they do measure up, if you'll use it, I want to tell you it'll be good for you. Not because I said it, because of the word of his grace.
Right.
You see, may God bless you. Here's my prayer. If you're here today and you love these things that we love, we open the doors of the church in a gospel way and give you the opportunity to take up your cross and become identified with this visible church that Jesus established here in the earth. Sing when you're ready, brother.